He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points. And today on the show, well, the Lakers are, they gave us a great Christmas present. What an incredible game between them and the Golden State Warriors. The Lakers picked up a huge win. Given everything involved, they beat the Golden State Warriors in San Francisco, basically without Anthony Davis. Austin Reeves goes off, LeBron James goes off, Max Christie plays well given the circumstances. The Lakers get just enough from everybody involved. D'Lo didn't play in this one, was a late scratch. That tends to happen in games that have storylines attached. But the Lakers wind up picking up a huge win, 115-113 over the Golden State Warriors. I'm not going to be here too long because it is still Christmas and I do still have family in town. But I did want to celebrate this one with you guys because, good Lord, what an incredible win. Let's go. All right, let's start with the needs to know stuff. 115-113 was the final. Anthony Davis, obviously the biggest story here, exited the game after only 7 minutes. And legitimately one of the weirder injuries I've ever seen. He was just walking and turned his left foot. Now, some people did point out that it's the foot that he's been dealing with plantar fasciitis. So maybe there was some overcompensation there. I don't think there's any way around it. That's one of the least athletic injuries I have ever seen from an elite athlete. There was no update about Davis after the game. Dave McMenamin of ESPN did report, quote, Anthony Davis is able to walk without any support after suffering his left ankle sprain. Sources told ESPN he will be considered day-to-day going forward and will be reevaluated prior to the Lakers' next game on 12/28 versus Sacramento, and it's possible he could return. I'm guessing for that one would be how that tweet should have ended. I'm going to be honest. It didn't look that bad. He didn't land on it after jumping. He just tweaked it and went down. It's the kind of thing that you would normally see a player kind of go down, tie their shoe tighter and come back from. He instead went to the locker room and then didn't play for the rest of the first half. And then, he was considered questionable to return coming out of halftime. Then he didn't exit the locker room after halftime. And then he was finally officially ruled out for the rest of the game by the Lakers a little bit later in the third quarter. That was weird, man. There's no conspiracy here that there's nothing else to point out other than I thought it was a really weird injury. It's the kind of thing that, like, even, you know, the way that former players respond to injuries is often really telling to me. And every single former player who saw that situation were like, yeah, like, go get retaped, tie your shoe tighter, and go out and play. And then, you know, the fact that he didn't was obviously a little weird. So hopefully AD is able to return. The 28th would be what, next Saturday, this coming Saturday. So, you know, hopefully that is when we'll see Anthony Davis again. But for now, you know, obviously the hope is that he just gets better, figures out whatever the hell went wrong there. And the bigger story for right now that, like, I want to spend more time on because it's more fun than talking about injuries is the fact that the Lakers beat the Warriors basically without him. Let's start with LeBron, who played 37 minutes in this one, played a lot of minutes at the five, or like the, you know, when he and Rui are out there together, they both kind of take turns playing the five. Christian Koloko, despite AD not playing in, you know, only at all, basically in this game, AD played 7 minutes, got hurt. Christian Coloco played 9 minutes. So that kind of tells you what kind of approach J.J. Redick took to the rest of the game here for the rest of the game. LeBron played 37 minutes, scored 31 points, dished out 10 assists, grabbed 4 rebounds, 2 steals, a block, and was a +4 in the game. Absolutely huge game for him out there. Really stabilized the offense. Remember, the Lakers were playing this one also without D'Angelo Russell. Just a monster game for LeBron, considering the circumstances. This is a big one. Like, if you look at this game's impact on the standings, it basically makes up single-handedly for that stupid loss to the Pistons again. The Lakers now sit in the sixth seed. They are 17-13. The Warriors fall to 15-14. Just a monster win here, given the circumstances. The Lakers are now tied atop the Pacific Division with the Clippers. You know, it's just huge that they picked up this win. And a lot of it came on the back of LeBron and the way that he played here. Made an absolutely huge three-pointer. The momentum was starting to slip back in Golden State's way. LeBron stepped up, hit a trail three over Schroeder at the top of the key. Look, obviously, you know, there was some sloppiness of this one. The Lakers just got killed, it felt like, on the rebounding aspect of things. But LeBron did everything that he needed to get the wins that he needed on the court and help the Lakers pick up this huge win. So that's the biggest takeaway from the guys who actually played in this one was, holy shit, man, LeBron, if he wants to single-handedly win a game, he can go out and do it. The other guy who went out and you know, LeBron didn't have to single-handedly win this one was because Austin Reeves was also right there with him playing basically just as well. Austin finished with a triple-double, 26 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds, had a steal in this one, 8 of 20 from the field, 4 of 10 from three-point range, made the game-winning bucket, driving right by Andrew Wiggins, their best perimeter defender, went right by him, made that layup. And again, like, Steph makes that three to everybody in the building thought, send it to overtime. And then Austin gets the ball there on the left wing on this out-of-bounds play, is basically isolated because of the situation. Whoever caught the ball there was going to have to ISO and have to go out and get themselves a bucket. Austin pulls that short straw there, is isolated against Andrew Wiggins, jab steps to his right, drives baseline. And I think Wiggins thought that Austin was going to try to do some kind of a step back three. Austin got enough of his body by him, got that, shoulder by him, held him off, sealed him off, got to the bucket and made that layup there with only a second left. Now, hilariously, Steph Curry gets the inbound pass there, takes a dribble around LeBron. I don't know if the shot would have counted, but when he released it, it's like, oh, fuck. Like, the whole time the ball is in the air. One, it felt like the ball was in the air forever. Two, you're like, oh, no. And like, based on trajectory, it's like, shit, that's going to have a chance. Oh, God. No. And then, you know, he shot it off left there from three-quarter court. But yeah, Austin, absolutely huge in this game. And we continue to see Austin turn a corner since the Lakers started starting Max Christie and allowing him to take the other team's best perimeter player. You're seeing a much better version of Austin Reeves. And I know he's a very polarizing player for whatever reason, especially in my comments here on YouTube. I continue to believe in the kid. He's 26, but like, I continue to believe in Austin Reeves. I do think that, you know, sometimes the Lakers have kind of ridiculous stances on who they are willing to trade him for, but there was a report earlier today, I can't pull it up right now, but there was a report out of Chicago that, you know, the Bulls are kind of asking for Austin Reeves in a trade package for Zach LaVine, and that the Lakers are just not interested in any such thing. And I said that that was the right decision. I think that's the right approach. Austin has one of the better value contracts in the league. Zach LaVine has one of the worst value contracts in the league. I think that's the right call there. And I know that me saying that was kind of polarizing just based on the mentions and replies to me tweeting that. And I continue to think that, like, Austin has LeBron's trust. He has Anthony Davis's trust. He has JJ Redick's trust. He's a gamer. He rises for these big moments and these big situations. He did it again here in this one, going for a 26-point triple-double, including the game-winning bucket. Just a huge, huge game for Austin as we continue to see him in a role that makes a lot more sense, right? When the Lakers were basically asking him to be their better, you know, their best perimeter defender, their point of attack defender, and then also be tasked with initiating the offense and closing games in the offense, that was too much. I thought that was too big of a role for Austin and basically anybody else in the NBA. But with Max starting and that starting group and closing group in this case being a lot more balanced, Austin gets to focus on keeping his legs for the offensive side of the ball and being his version, the best version of himself on that side of the ball, and is just a significantly better player in this role. I'll put it this way. Austin, if Max wasn't still starting, and either D'Lo, who again obviously didn't play in this one, but like if it was Dalton back there with him and Austin was being asked to like chase Steph around the court the way that he was, you know, say earlier in the season, if that's what Austin's role was going to be, he wouldn't have had the energy to get by Wiggins late in this one to get all the way to the basket and get that layup off basically uncontested because of the move he put on Wiggins. And so like that's where, you know, Raj and I have been talking, and I have been talking a lot on the show about like the ripple effect of Max starting and how that slots everybody in roles that make a lot more sense. I think the biggest beneficiary here is Austin Reeves, and with him benefiting to that extent, obviously the Lakers are huge beneficiaries because they now get back to the version of Austin Reeves who makes the most sense for you know, what the Lakers are not willing to trade him for. So great game here from Austin. Huge late game free throws from him as well. Let's talk about Max, though, because wow, I continue to be really impressed by this kid. And I will call Max a kid here. I am 38 years old. I'm old enough to have to wonder how old I am. I'm 38 years old. Max is 21, so I'm going to go ahead and call him a kid because I'm damn near twice his age. Max in this one played 34 minutes, had to chase around either Steph or Buddy Hield for all of those 34 minutes, 5 of 13 from the floor, 2 of 8 from three-point range. I like him getting up 8 three-pointers over the course of this one. 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 2 of those free throws being massive late game free throws where the Warriors, so Steph made a miracle three that brought the Warriors back to within one late in the game. And there was like 27 seconds left in the game. Obviously the Lakers advanced the ball with 24 seconds left on the shot clock. And the Warriors decided that, like, even if they got a stop there, depending on where the Lakers shot from, let's say the Lakers just hold the ball in a corner for 23 seconds and then get up a shot from like 37 feet away, that would have essentially been a punt, but would have iced enough of the clock that the Warriors wouldn't have had a possession to speak for. So they opt for fouling Max Christie late in the game. He steps to the free throw line, makes two absolute huge testicular fortitude free throws there. And then obviously Austin winds up stepping to the free throw line and making his own, you know, umph type free throws as well. And then Austin obviously fully iced the game with that layup with the second to go. But watching this guy fall out of the rotation, this being Max, fall out of the rotation completely to where he was playing garbage minutes. He steps back into the starting group, and with him starting and with him playing the way that he is defensively, just so cool. What an incredible story. And again, the guy's only 21. Like, this guy is barely old enough to drink legally on Christmas with his family. And he celebrates Christmas here in a really fun way. 5 of 13 from the floor, 16 points, 4 boards, couple assists, and was just huge down the stretch of the game. Now, he did make, I think, a bit of a mental error there that sprung Steph open for the second three. The first three that he made was just kind of a miracle heave, you know, that like he had to, like, he started the shooting motion here, Steph did, and then he got the ball up and it wound up going in. I don't, that shot doesn't bother me as much. The one that obviously bothered me was Max giving up the switch. If you don't switch that and Austin goes out and defends Steph there, and you double Steph off of the ball, and it winds up being Draymond wide open at the top of the key, you live with that. You're okay with it. If Draymond knocks down that three-pointer, you just kind of like tip your Santa hat and you move on. But what wound up happening is Max gave up the switch. Austin couldn't get around Draymond for on the moving screen that Draymond set, and then Steph was wide open from three. Whoever was guarding the ball, I thought should have broke harder to go and contest. He didn't, and it wound up being way too open a look. Steph knocks it down, but the Lakers pick up a win for the most part. I thought Max is going to, guarded Steph about as well as you could possibly hope for a 21-year-old to guard him. Now, Steph did still go off, right? 8 of 15 from three-point range, 14 of 24 from the field as on the whole, 38 points and 6 assists in this one, but was a minus one in the game. And I just, the way that the Lakers were able to kind of sustain those minutes was, through big time shot making when they absolutely needed to, and Max making Steph work for every single one of those points, make him work for 38 points. That's whatever, but, I just continue to think that the best version of the Lakers is one where Max is starting. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the Lakers are on this nice little mini run that started with Max getting into that starting group. All right. Beyond that, Rui stepped up, in as far as like shooting goes. Rui went 5 of 7 from three-point range, 6 of 12 from the field, 18 points there. Now, you would like to see Rui grab a few more rebounds than he did with AD out and with JJ still not trusting Christian Koloko. Rui finished with 18 and 4. So, like, on the whole, a pretty good game for him. I would have liked to see more in terms of the little stuff. But still, at the end of the day, everybody did what was necessary to pick up this win. And I'm not going to complain too much because it's Christmas and we're having some fun here. What a great fucking win, man. Awesome. All right. I'm going to really, really quickly. What is it? Look at Schmicky. I did. Hell yeah, Anthony. AR and Max called for it in preseason. We did, those of us who have been here in the lounge long-term now have been calling for this, and it's cool to watch this play out the way that it did. Oh, wrong one. Here we are. Also this. Fuck Washington! All right, so let's go ahead and really quickly answer this one. Sporadic, Merry Christmas, Papa. Thank you very much, man. It. You know what? I'll make the announcement here. Yesterday, I formally accepted a gig with Odyssey that is full-time, that comes with benefits. I am now fully back on my feet after crawling fighting, scratching, like all of that stuff. You know, after being laid off by Vox a couple of years ago, you know, and now have a pretty cool kind of future ahead. And you know, so like, I didn't want to make I'm not going to go too into detail into what it entails, but it is because of the way that the show continues to grow. It is because of the way that Odyssey has seen this audience and community continue to kind of wrap its arms around everything that we try to do here. And this Christmas, having my family here for the first time in 5 years together for Christmas, watching my kids grow up and enjoy this moment has been truly, truly special, and would not be, and none of this would be possible without you guys, without, you know, people like Harrison and Raj and Sabrina and Aaron at the time, and any number of people who were just like, you know what, we're gonna just kind of stick with you, man. And the way that you guys have has been really cool. And I got to sign off here before I start blubbering too much. But this has been a really special couple of days. And I love you guys. That's all I can say. All right. That is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge Podcast. Obviously, weird holiday schedule, all of that stuff. We'll get back to some normalcy next week. I'm going to talk to Raj about potentially recording tomorrow to recap this one and have a little bit of fun with it, and kind of look ahead to the post Christmas schedule and kind of goals now that the NBA season is now fully kind of underway. So I'll talk to Raj about doing that tomorrow, and if not, then we'll do something here together with the community. Until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Wednesday if you aren't celebrating any kind of a holiday. Give your family a hug. Please travel safe. I'm recording this at 10:11 my time out here in Texas. To those of you who are on the West Coast, celebrating your Christmases at like 8 o'clock or whatever, right now is kind of the time that you decide what kind of a night it's going to be. If it is one of those nights where you let it rip, please hop in an Uber, pay the surge charges. I know they're expensive. It sucks, but please go out, be safe, hug your loved ones, celebrate smart and intelligently, and we'll get back together with our hangovers together. Tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody.
Bye, everyone.